Guys, welcome back to Live Elevated with Brian Pruitt, the podcast. We're becoming more fully human together. And in today's episode, I got the man, the myth, and the legend himself, Stacy Irvin Jr., lifestyle transformation and fitness transformation coach. He's a world champion, natural bodybuilder, and he's a keynote speaker. This dude is one of the most well-rounded individuals I've ever been around. He, just by his presence in the room, makes you want to become more and grow and step into your God-given greatness. So if that sounds like something you want to do, tap in, baby. It's going to be a good conversation. Enjoy.
During the time where I was bodybuilding, I did use that as part of like cardio, like for real,
because no
doubt. It is breath control. If you don't control the breathing when you're posing, you're going to be up on stage floundering.
Yeah.
Because like you're going to get gassed. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you get gassed, you're not going to be posing well. When you're not posing well, you're not presenting well.
Well, the hard part is like you're so tense, but at the same time, you got to breathe.
Exactly.
And I think it's a lot easier to do one or the other.
Facts.
Right? If you're 100% focused on one thing, you got to hold both simultaneously and keep them in perfect balance.
Exactly. I think that's where my breath work practice and meditation has helped me a lot in that. Because it's just about holding that mindful awareness of the internal state while you're being externally focused.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pose, but I need to focus on my breathing. Now, if that's a foreign concept to me, I've never really focused on my breathing consciously, then now I'm split-minded in my focus. Either one's going to get the attention or the other. Your mind can't be in two places at once. Can't.
Right.
Can't multitask.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, your brain's only engaged in one task, or it's inefficiently engaged in one task because you're stratifying two different things. So like having practiced breath work and meditation for like years, I think that actually helped a ton, in addition to the fact that I was already a gymnast and stuff like that.
No doubt. I mean, I feel like those moments, you've probably felt this, where you're caught up in a task, whether it's washing dishes or doing whatever, and you like, oh, wow, I haven't breathed in 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, Breath, you ever read that book, Breath?
No.
James Nestor, good call, JB. Beautiful book. You'd eat it up because it's a mix of practical breath exercises, information, but also like it's kind of spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like when we're holding our breath, if you've ever done Wim Hof, I'm sure you have, where it's actively intentionally holding your breath, but getting a lot of oxygen in and actively holding it, that's beneficial because you're intentionally doing it.
Right.
But when we're stressed out, we'll hold our breath and we'll breathe shallow, and that's not good for our body, our mind, anything.
Yeah. No. Because the reaction of an inhalation, a deep conscious inhalation, is relaxing for the body. You know, if someone's panicking, like, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that the first thing we have to tell them? Mm. Well, they're getting so far removed from the present moment because they're in panic mode, and they're getting removed from the present without consciously breathing, which is an anchor to the present moment. So, like, we tell them to breathe to bring them back to the present moment, in which nothing is actually happening right now. Like, not nothing. You know, you could be panicking in a situation in which things are, but it's about being present. Because if your presence is elsewhere, well, you can't impact the moment actually.
Yeah.
So that even ties into, again, the posing, which is, if I'm focused only on breathing, I'm not going to be focused well enough on my posing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm focused too much on my posing, I'm going to forget about breathing, and then my posing is going to go.
Right.
Because
you'll get gassed. Like you said, all those guys are, you know, super clenched, and they get burnt out, and you're staying on stage for 30 minutes. You were saying that's wild.
Yeah. They had us up there for a long time for the world championship. It definitely took the most, that was the most that they had us posing and turning and turning, and we were turning and turning and turning. We're like, oh my gosh, they're keeping us up here forever.
The ballerinas.
And yeah, for real. And they had us doing stuff like, that aren't classic physique poses. Like they had us do like a lat spread. That's a bodybuilding pose. So like, and then what else they threw in? I think they threw in a most muscular, which are both bodybuilding poses, not classic physique poses.
Yeah.
There's physique, board shorts, classic, trunks, and then bodybuilding, G-string.
Yeah. Like, is that the one you did or no?
I did classic. So
classic,
I had the trunk. Yeah, speedo type stuff. And so they had us up there. They're like calling out lat spread, and all of us are on stage like,
what?
They're throwing curveballs now. There must be a close race between two. And it was me and the other guy who was also coached by my coach, on that lightweight call out. Mm-hmm. So they were really trying to determine who it was between us two. And then there was a guy who won the overall. He won the heavyweight division, and then he won the overall. He had won that competition the past like 3 or 4 years. So amazing. He's got great physique. He's a chiropractor, good guy.
How does it feel to be like your first time competing and you win world champion?
I know this is going to sound weird, and I don't mean this in any type of like egotistical way, but I manifested it, so I expected it. It was exciting, of course, but to be honest, I really did sort of expect it, and your expectations often will precede your reality. So like, and when I say that, what's even crazier is how it plays out. Hmm. Okay. Because like I just said, the guy who won the overall had won it 4 years prior. He had been on it
back to back four. Yeah,
he won the same. Wow. Boom, 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 boom. This, and now this is beautiful. And it doesn't even cheapen my world championship. Thank you. Amen. Typically that competition is not large enough to split the field of competitors into heavyweight and lightweight. Hmm. So when I said I manifested this, I really mean this. So like, I obviously was doing preparation. Mind you, this prep for world championships was also only, I think, 6 weeks or 7 weeks. So it was a very short prep. If I had more time, I probably could have won the overall, and I'm not hung up on that, but I'm just saying, like, if I had the time.
Yeah, that's a short runway for you.
It was a short prep. And so there were some things that you can't beat time when it comes to these types of changes. You need time. Mm-hmm. So where I got was great, but what I could have done would have been even better had I had the time. I digress. This competition, typically, they do not split the field of competitors into lightweight and heavyweight. I think it may have been legitimately the first time in which they did this.
Interesting.
And so when I say that I pre-paved the experience to become world champion, I really mean it, because that competition's never been split into two divisions. And this is the first year that it was. When I get there, I do my weigh-in, and I'm literally on the cusp of going lightweight or heavyweight. Hmm. And my coach is like, well, you should go heavyweight, because if you go heavyweight, then Darion will be in lightweight, and you guys will probably both take first, and then we'll have both champions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. But I already weighed in. I had already weighed in, and they were literally watching me weigh in at 179. The cutoff was 180 and above. Hmm. When I dieted down, it was 179. So that day, I weigh in. And I had taken my shoes off. No one else was taking their shoes off. I didn't even know that that was a thing. You know what I mean? So I took my shoes off because it's my real weight. Mm-hmm. Get on the scale, 179. So my coach was like, well, I'm going to see if I can get you a heavyweight. And I'm like, okay, if I can't, no big deal. I'm cool. Do lightweight, whatever. So I ended up staying in lightweight, because then the field was like even split, mm-hmm. like 7 and 7 guys, something like that. And I end up taking that lightweight world championship home. If I had gone into the heavyweight, I wouldn't have been able to claim world champion.
Right.
Because the division, I would have got second in both. I would have got second.
You're saying that just assuming, or like?
Because I can only say that confidently because the guy who won the overall is also the guy who won heavyweight.
Okay.
So if I go into heavyweight, I don't win over him because I took second to him in the overall.
I see.
But as a lightweight, won the world championship.
Interesting.
So I was like, dang. They usually don't split it like this.
And they split it because of so many competitors.
There was enough competitors in the field this year that it sort of necessitated it for the flow of the competition.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was this held? That's so interesting.
This was actually in Kansas City, Missouri.
Is that? That's not a first form.
No. They're in St. Louis. Yeah, they're in St. Louis. That's where my first show was.
Yes.
So first show where I earned the pro card was an NAMBF show, St. Louis Classic.
Heck yeah, bro. Dude, it's powerful to hear just you talk about the prep, with the workout we did, and you showing me poses. I mean, so much goes into that. It's wild. Yeah. So when you think about your prep right there, 7 weeks, obviously more throughout your entire life, but what was the biggest thing you learned about yourself in that prep time? Like, what did you learn about yourself as you prepared to become a champion?
I'm a dog, bro.
Come on now. And the dog's got to eat, right?
Dog got to eat. Nah, I really learned that, like, I'm built for this type of stuff. And that was powerful to reinforce that as an identity, because it was tough. It's tough. regardless if you're doing a 16 week prep, 8 week prep, 6 week, it don't matter. Like it's going to be tough because you're going to have to dig in order to like get the result. And I really got to a point where it was almost like masochistic where I'm like,
Give me more pain.
Yeah, I'm like, give me the pain because I know this is going to make me win. Like, I wasn't going to compete. I didn't want to compete. I wanted to win. So I did everything to the T, to the gram. You know what I mean? Like, we get 20, you know, 80 grams of sweet potato. I'm going 80 grams. I'm not going 81.
Right.
I'm not going 79. I'm going 80 grams when I meal prep. Every meal is prepped to the gram. So, like, intentional laser focus. And when I say, like, I'm a dog, I'm built for this, first of all, it's true. Those are my affirmations. I'm going to speak that over myself.
Yes.
But it's not just because, like, I'm the man. No, 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 no. It's not like that. It's reinforcement from big I to little I. You know what I mean? So, like, reinforcing that identity through literally spiritual strength and grounding. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can't get through it. It gets so challenging that I'm like, If I rely on myself for the wisdom on this, I'm gonna fail this. Because I want to do something else. But if I'm really listening, I will do exactly what it is and make sure that it happens. So like over preparation, and then I'm like, if I'm not over prepared, I'm under prepared. So
sounds like your self trust too is probably like freaking so sharp. I mean, you're talking about not going over a gram. That self trust is so big, and I think, you know, for at least what I've learn in coaching clients with specifically with fitness and mindset is that self-trust is everything. You know, if you start sleeping in, you start hitting snooze, you start skipping the workout, you start kind of doing small things like that, it builds up. And when you look in the mirror, something feels off. Even if they're like, hey, you're doing great, Stacy, Brian, you're doing great. You have that like chip away at your self-trust. So really there's no competition. It's just you versus you, baby.
It's true.
And you got to just like, you got to stay committed to who you want to be.
It's true.
So when you say big I, little I, when you're talking about that, you mean like staying open to something more? What do you mean by that?
I mean, we spoke about it earlier when we were in the gym. Ego dissolution. Little I is ego. Big I, that's God, creator. Give me that. I need to listen to that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, little I is going to be misinformed, run around like a little hellion. So if I don't stay grounded in that and I don't take from, not take, if I'm not poured into from that
source,
then I'm not able to really maintain the strength. Because, bro, it's really challenging. You're challenging. It's so much more mental than anything else when you're in a prep like that. And I'm only speaking like, yes, I've only done three competitions. I honestly have a hard time even seeing myself as a bodybuilder necessarily because it's such like a side quest for me that like
side quest champion.
Yeah, side quest champion. But like, but that doesn't necessarily negate the identity that you form in it. And so in that, you just learn so much because it's such a demanding process that like if you're really gonna do it to like win, that like you're gonna be giving it so much attention. And I've felt that way before, but not, I wasn't as conscious about it prior in my life. And this time it was very conscious and intentional. And so I'm like, oh, that's what it means to like win.
Dude. Interesting. Cause you know, you're no stranger to championships because we talked about gymnast champion at Michigan. I'm curious, what was the biggest sacrifice you made like for that prep, what did you feel like you sacrificed the most? And by the way, I just want to press pause as you think about that. I love your energy and love your vibe. I love how you actually listen to a question. You're like, let me actually think about this. Like I find myself way too often just answering something quick because I don't want to sit and think about what do I want to say? So I love and respect that.
Appreciate that, bro. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Sacrifice. Biggest sacrifice for that.
It's a positive, and we'll reframe it because it's a Andy Frisella has really been someone who has helped shape my perspective on success and, you know, like looking at things differently in order to like attain a win sustainably. And one thing he said that really stuck with me is like, we got to reframe things of sacrifice and show them to ourselves as investment. Mm. Because if I'm doing something to obtain something, that's also an investment. It's not like I'm just sacrificing it for it.
Yeah.
Because that has such a negative connotation. Mm. And so it's like, if I'm investing that into, if I reframe a sacrifice as an investment, then it kind of helps me do that more willingly and with less friction, even though it's still going to be challenging. Mm. And in that, the reason I frame it that way is because the sacrifice that I, what I sacrificed was mostly people pleasing. Mm. I feel like I will overextend myself or had the tendency to like overextend myself, say yes to things.
Right.
Only because I didn't necessarily have a direction. I didn't have a reason to say no. Mm. So like I'm saying yes to these things, not because I want to say yes necessarily, because I think that it aligns best with my interest, but I don't have a strong enough reason to say no.
Wow.
So the thing I sacrificed most during that period was people pleasing. Sorry, you're going out to eat. I'll go out to eat with you guys for sure. But I'm like, I'm not going to eat with you. No, I don't want to try that. No, I'm okay. It's 8:30. I'm going to go home. I need to sleep. I have this to do in the morning. And it's like, when you're sitting around 5%, 3% body fat, you're not trying to make your brain do more work than it needs to, because the brain is already sort of like, yo, I'm not necessarily optimally fueled here. And so everything's so structured that if you compromise in one area, there's a domino effect. Mm-hmm. I can't skip this meal because that's going to throw off the entire rest of the day. I can't skip my training at this moment of the day. Otherwise, that changes the way that my body's going to metabolize food throughout the rest of the day.
Wow.
So the schedule has to be like strict. And if your schedule is strict, and it can happen at any time, you can just, when you lock into something that's like important enough and you make that schedule, you're allowed to say no to anything that is not in alignment with your schedule. Yeah. Like that's it. So I was like, you know, people are like inviting me to go do things, this, that, the third. I'm like, nah. I still went to some events for like partner companies and things like that. Like I even went to the First Form Summer Smash like two or three weeks prior to the competition.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Tempting.
Tempting, but like also more so just like, just challenging logistically. Mm-hmm. Like I packed meals and took them, or I actually didn't take meals that time. I remember we're at the actual Summer Smash event. I'm eating barbecue sauce to get my carbohydrate content. And I'm like, bro, this is not the way.
out the packet. Like you're like drinking.
Bro, yes. Bro,
that's next level.
Slices of turkey breast and freaking barbecue sauce packets. I'm like, bro, this is not the way right now.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But it shows you what you said, the investment.
Yeah.
I love that idea of, I keep hearing it a lot these days, but you know, such a secret to living a successful life is to get crystal clear mm-hmm. on what you want. Mm-hmm. Get clear on the life you want mm-hmm. and then get really good at saying no yeah. to everything else.
That's not it. Yeah.
Right? And I feel that with people pleasing. I mean, that's one of the big things that I'm trying to grow in as well these days is mm-hmm. trying to let go of needing to feel accepted or liked or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. But that's beautiful. You had a purpose that was so powerful to you. It kept you focused and on track. You stopped drinking. Mm-hmm. You found out, you grew personally
yeah.
by letting go of that people pleasing. So
yeah,
talk to me about that too. Like the alcohol.
Yeah.
How your mind is different now based on that. So you're less likely to try to people please and all that.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's kind of twofold. I will say like 2 or 3 years back, I put myself in therapy, via like telehealth therapy. First of all, I feel like so many men are afraid to go to therapy because there's such a stigma around it that they're like feeling that they're somehow weaker for asking for assistance, where it's like, I wasn't necessarily like in a low, low, low. I did it because I could get better. Mm. If you see someone at a gym with a personal trainer, you're not like, this guy,
yeah.
can't believe this guy's trying to get fit with somebody.
Right.
A therapist is literally just a personal trainer for your mind.
Yeah.
So like if you really want to like get through the muck and grime of like your mindset and unclog that, like that's certainly a helpful process. It's not the only way, but it is certainly a helpful process. And one of the things that I uncovered during those sessions was like a deep rooted, not deep rooted. Let's just say a lot of things will stem from your childhood. And so like people pleasing came from a part of my childhood. And until you're aware of something, you can't affect change on it. So that once I brought that to light, I said, oh my God, I really am really, really run thin by this people pleasing concept. And so the remedy was just like establishing boundaries, and not just establishing them, but holding them.
Yeah.
You know, people get upset when a boundary is infringed upon personally, but they've never expressed the boundary, nor have they enforced it. And not to say that they can't be offended because that boundary was crossed, but they can't necessarily be surprised because it was never established and it was never held. So the remedy was establishing those boundaries, right? And so like you heard that same thread in the bodybuilding prep was just establishing the boundaries. My schedule is my schedule. That is it. Boom. I'm set. I'm in this. This is what I'm doing. And then there was a second part to the question.
I mean, you gave up alcohol, so you just got clear on your vision too, and that helped you probably say no and set healthy boundaries up, right?
100%. You know? So the alcohol portion is kind of a cool byproduct of it, because to be honest, I was drinking all through like college, post-college. I had some seasons in which I would just kind of like go dry just to like exercise a different chain of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I had been sober or not using alcohol for like a couple of months at a time, like 6 month stints, this, that, and the third, maybe like two or three times. This is the longest I've definitely gone without it.
And how long has it been?
It's been since like April 22nd of 2024.
Wow.
So like a little bit over a year. And like what I've just noticed, first of all, plain and simple, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Alcohol is a poison at the end of the day. It doesn't matter if it's red wine, whiskey, tequila. It doesn't really matter. The way that the body ingests it and utilizes it is technically a poison. It slows down muscle protein synthesis. It is going to help store body fat, which is not what we're looking for. It impacts sleep negatively. It kills your gut microbiome. And typically when people are drinking, they're also not eating the healthiest of foods. So when you kill a gut microbiome and then you refill it with not nutritious food, what's going to grow? There's only one answer here. So like it impacts digestion, cognitive health and function, et cetera. So like, to be honest, after I hadn't drank for a while, I was like, I guess I'll just see how long I can go without this. That's no knock to anybody who is drinking. I don't think it's, if it's an outlet, it's a way of enjoyment, it's a way of socialization, by all means. But I had a strong enough reason to say no. So the yeses were relegated. But I will say this, if you always say yes, do you have the power to say no?
So that's a good question to ask yourself. Like, do I have the power to say no if I'm always saying yes?
Yes.
And you think, freedom because I'm always saying yes. I have the freedom to say yes.
I have the freedom to say yes. I have the freedom to say yes. I have the freedom to say yes. But what happens when you try to say no for a month?
Yeah.
Do you have it? Because if you're always saying yes, then you're not ever exercising the power of no.
Mm-hmm.
And if you only exercise the power of no once because you just were like, I'm going to try this for tonight, that don't really even count because you're exercising a yes in your no.
Right.
What about when you get around friends, family, you're at a wedding or a holiday party and everybody's still drinking? Do you still have the power to say no?
Because
no one's forcing you. Oh, they made me drink. Ah, they were handing out shots. They made me take shots. Yeah. Ain't nobody forced that shot down your mouth, bro.
Like,
I've seen it too many times. And so like it really, and I'm not saying that I'll never ever drink again. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Even after I just say all this stuff, I'm serious. I'm not necessarily holding so tight to the idea that like it can never occur again.
Sure.
But I really feel like, especially in like social situations, like a veil has lifted. Like when I was out in Philadelphia, we were, you know, with Fusion Gyms. We went out to the club that night after a very, I would say exhaustive physically day, doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
We're at the club and I was just like, for the first time ever in my life of me standing in a club. And I thought to myself, what am I doing here? I've had a full day. I got up at 6 a.m. Yeah. I've done all my things. I've worked, I've created content. I did all this stuff. Mm. I've had so many positive exchanges with people and like networking and relationship building today. Why am I in this club? Because we're not talking to each other.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah. Can't hear yourself talk.
It's super loud.
Yeah.
I don't even necessarily feel comfortable right now. I'm probably super tired. Like, and I'm standing there, I'm like, why why am I here? And I left early.
Wow.
I was like, I need to go to sleep. What am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing here? God's like, nah, man, I just had to bring you out here to show you that you didn't really want to do this.
Bro, I freaking love that. So those shoulder raises that we were doing out there when you were saying these are margarita pours, those are skinny margaritas.
Yeah, right.
Those aren't, those aren't spiced.
Baby.
Mocktails over there. That's what my wife was drinking when she was pregnant with our daughter. No, that's beautiful, man. I love that. There's so much, you know, I respect when people know what they want and they choose to live a life that's, you know, maybe unique. I mean, it is pretty wild that we live in a culture, you know, I drink from time to time. But it's wild that we are so peer pressured, and I've been a part of that when I was younger.
Same,
like, you're not going to drink with us? Right. Like, why is that even a thing?
Right.
That's so silly.
It's the only drug that you get questioned about when you tell someone you don't do it.
Right.
Alcohol is a drug at the end of the day.
Now, why?
We got to remember that. It's not drugs and alcohol. Yeah. Alcohol is also a drug. Mm. So, like, it's the only drug that when you say you don't do it, people question you on.
Yeah. It's crazy, bro.
You telling me you don't do heroin? Nah. Okay, like, why not?
Only one.
Why not? It's like, do I need to justify? Like, it's a personal decision. Mm. So, I mean, I guess that really all, now that I'm coming to this in realization right now, it's sort of like discipline in one area is always going to help strengthen and shape it in another. And that's just a boundary.
It's good.
It's just a boundary at this point.
What other boundaries do you have in life?
Man, quite a few, to be honest. And I think that that's healthy boundaries.
For sure.
The morning routine thing is sort of a boundary for me.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like ritualized, and it doesn't always have to be elaborate. 45 minutes I'm sitting on a pillow.
Floating, elevating.
Yeah, floating around. Like, no, sometimes it's just about priming the mind for the day ahead, and like, it's a boundary for me to have that time and space in the morning in order to like really feel like I can give my best that day. Mm. And I think that that helps inform the rest of the structures that I have, because if I'm maintaining that discipline here, then I'm probably going to exercise that discipline over here, because it's a muscle that I built. Mm-hmm. If I didn't build that muscle, it would atrophy. And if it atrophies, I can't use it anyway. So I would say just like making sure that the disciplines and structures that are helping you grow in life are protected by boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Going, having date night. You have to put a boundary on that sometimes. It doesn't necessarily have to be a specific day. No, every Wednesday we do this. Every Wednesday is different.
Mm-hmm.
But like every week, we got to cut some time out.
Yeah.
That's a boundary.
Yeah.
That's not just a schedule. That's a boundary.
You mean like business can't pour into that, because I need to make sure I pour time and energy into my wife.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like just really establishing that structure for yourself to edify the things that need to be edified.
I love that, dude. What about, so shifting gears to like content, because I mean, that's how, this is crazy, man. Like, we live in a world where I connected with you, we connected through Instagram.
Yep.
And similar to all the homies now, I'm like, we connected because I'm like, yo, I love this guy's vibe. Mm-hmm. Love his energy, always smiling, always like creating value. Mm-hmm. And so social media, man, is such a powerful tool. And I'm just grateful that I can get to connect with guys like you and whatnot. But there's always, of course, the downside of like, you know, if you don't have healthy boundaries with content. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess maybe the question I'd have for you is like, what's your approach to content and creating generally?
Yeah.
What do you think that is for you?
It's honestly an ebb and flow. So there's like different seasons and different trends and different ways that people are operating with the platforms and this, that, and the third. And depending upon the content and context in which you're creating, like, so my mindset about it is generally one of like growth, resilience, and adaptability.
Mm.
Like, there's ebbs and flows and waves in which I'm not really like feeling it. And only recently, like just again, I'd say maybe like a month and a half ago, started to really be like, okay, I want to create again. Cause I was so like burnt out with it.
Yeah.
And so like having fun and staying true with it is always important. But I think what adds to the burnout cycle is if someone's trying to create a persona that they don't possess.
Mm.
Like painting an image that is not congruent with who you truly are, you're going to get burnt out because, like, how long can you put up that facade when the mask falls? Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're not in alignment, there's going to be friction. You know what I mean? So it's like, unblock the friction because it's already going to be friction because you got to be consistent with it anyway.
Yeah.
But I generally say, like, my approach to content is inspiration, like inspiration based. I like to, like, what am I set forth to, like, kind of share today?
Mm-hmm.
But any content I post has to either entertain, empower, or educate. Mm-hmm. Or if it's all three, probably goes viral.
Yeah.
That's really it.
I saw that. I looked at your Instagram yesterday, and that you mentioned that in like 7 fun facts, mm-hmm. Which I love because, you know, I think I'm in the same boat. I'm like, I'm always trying to inspire, encourage, entertain, and
doing a great job at it.
Appreciate you, bro. It really is about alignment too. You know, I think I want to get better at, like, what you mentioned, like, hey, talking to the camera again or the podcast and finding new ways to expand. That's really what it is.
Yes.
I want to find new ways to become more me and be more me because, you know, you're either growing or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're either becoming more or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously fear can kick in or whatever that looks like. But so what are you most excited about when it comes to creating in the near future? What are you excited to step more into for you?
It's a great question. What I'm most excited for to step into in the near future for my own creative process is just to continue to explore and present ways and ideas that are true to my path to help people start to pick up these practices that they might otherwise not ever encounter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll post about like meditation or something like that. It's not like a sexy topic. Hey, go sit down for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm telling people to put themselves in timeout and they're right. Like, what's this guy talking about?
Right.
But like truly, that is the single most impactful practice that I have to like change anything in my life, in myself.
Meditation.
Around me, yes, 100%.
How would you define meditation for you?
Space to listen to what God's trying to tell me. Mm. He whispers a lot of time. How you gonna hear a whisper if every moment of your day is always filled with the internal voice,
mm-hmm.
external chatter, a to-do list that's going on? Like, take like at least five minutes for yourself, for just literally just you.
Mm.
Where attention goes, energy flows. We're usually either past focus or future focus.
Mm.
Very rarely are people ever very, very presently consciously focused on just the moment, not a task at hand. It's not a meditation and a task. It's a moment for you to like cultivate presence.
Mm.
So if we don't ever take that time, we're really, I personally feel, missing out on enriching the life that we already have.
Yes.
Not the richness of life. You can experience the richness of life all day, but you end up overstimulated, all this stuff, whatever. But I mean enriching your life by being so presently focused, yeah. Like breathing. Like that for 20 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 breaths. That's already more than people are consciously breathing in a day.
Even if it's one breath, that's one breath more present, grounded, centered you'll be,
mm-hmm.
which is dope. It's amazing. Like you get every bit of that rep, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of like a gym.
And so it's like what I find to be most impactful about it is that it allows me to intercept the thoughts better.
Mm.
So like, you know, an analogy that is popular in mindfulness is like the mind is like watching traffic from the side of the road. You can see all these cars are going by. Hmm. Cars are your thoughts. You're just, they're going by. Oh, you saw a red car. You're
shiny fast.
Oh, sometimes it ain't even so fast. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
The slow one that you caught on to, and you're like, oh,
Ooh, it's like, yo, just let it go. Just let it go.
So it's the interception of those moments where it's like, oh, I could get caught on a negative spiral pretty quick here. But if I'm not aware that I'm caught on that spiral, it's going to take me.
Yes.
So it's like having that present awareness being built from a practice of like stillness and mindfulness allows me in moments throughout my day where I'm like, maybe I can't do this, or like, oh, this is going wrong, or I haven't today. We'll worry about its own. Today has enough worry of its own. Tomorrow, we can worry about tomorrow.
Yeah.
So like, if I'm always caught up in something, boom, and that takes me into tomorrow, 2 days, 3 days down from the line, bro, whoa, I got to bring it back. So like, that is the single most important, impactful practice that has really helped me align that. And I share it because most people don't ever get introduced or have any type of, you know, prompting to do so.
Yeah.
I gratefully took a course on meditation in college. So like, I used to take that for granted. I'm like, why don't more people meditate? I'm like, bro, you were in your fourth year of university before you ever sat down for a meditation. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's, most people aren't getting those opportunities to do so.
Meditation should be taught in elementary school or something. Like
100%. 100% should. It really should, because it's foundational.
Yeah.
It's a foundational thing. Like, the mind makes a terrible master, but it's a great servant. If I control my mind, that's great. But if my mind's controlling me all the time, ooh, it's man.
Good. It's good.
I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah, bro. So yeah, what I'm hearing too is like, you've meditation has given you this ability to kind of take a step back and become the observer instead of being so caught up in the noise and getting lost and losing your time. Cause we love this idea. I've talked to Ryan a lot about this in the studio. Time is not our most valuable commodity. I thought that it's actually presence, because if we don't have presence with what we're doing with our time, we could spend an hour on nothing, everything and nothing. But if you have 10 minutes of pure presence with intention, you can't tell me it's more effective or not more effective than an hour.
No, that's facts.
Is there anything else you do that goes against? So that, to me, meditation, what a great practice and like reminder for people, Stacy. Is there anything else that goes against the grain or that people would be surprised about you that you do differently the most when it comes to that? Because meditation is totally against the grain.
Probably just about everything I do. I would say...
He sleeps upside down.
Yeah, I sleep in a handstand.
He does backflips.
I only eat
in his
kale. Yes. I'm just kidding. Yes. No. I mean, it's always sort of surprising when you hear how anybody sort of orchestrates their livelihood. Because you always find some type of like gem or something that you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. Or sure. Sometimes it's not a gem. Sometimes the opposite of a gem. And you're like, hold on, that's a thorn. Let me help.
Yeah.
Or you stay where it's at. It's cool. Anyway, I would say that what's something, it's simple, but it's not simple. It's simple, but it's not practiced by many people. I don't sleep with my phone in my room next to my bed. I know that's not, doesn't sound very like life-changing, but it is.
Yeah.
But it is. I don't get on social media within the first hour of my day, and I'm doing my absolute best. I'm not perfect at it. I do my absolute best to not look at any notifications on my phone before I control my mind. If you open your phone first thing out of bed, first of all, it's not in my room. It's in the bathroom next to my room. So if the alarm goes off, I have to get up, take a few steps, consciously turn off the alarm. If I hit snooze, I have to consciously do so, and I have to consciously walk back into bed and lay down and sleep and admit defeat to that snooze button. But also, when I grab my phone, I'm also not immediately seeing, oh, do I have any texts, any missed calls, etc. Because you don't know what that is. It's a minefield. A phone right out of you're literally coming out of the most impressionable state that you are in your existence, in your sleep. You're so impressionable in sleep. You're all subconscious, pretty much. So like, when you wake up, you're still coming out of that subconscious impressionable state. So if you open up your phone, open up a news app, IG, TikTok, whatever, you're opening up a minefield. You don't know if you're going to get a happy post, a sad post, a comical post, a freaking romantic post. You don't know what you're going to get. So like, the first thing that's going to impress an idea upon your mind in the morning comes from an external source that you have no clue of what it's going to send your way, man.
That's powerful.
Very powerful, because it sets the trajectory of your whole day.
Yes.
Because one thing I understand, one thing I've understood about myself now too, is like after that first hour of not using my phone, when I do finally start to open up and engage with like different platforms, whatever, it's like the floodgates open. Now I'm like tapping in at random times in the day. Like I'll lose that presence of mind and I'm just like open my phone, grab it, click an app just out of habit. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Put it down.
Almost like that moment in the bar where you're like, where am I and why am I here?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Or you ever open up a different app? Like, it's like when you go, I liken apps to like rooms in your house. You know, like when you open a door, you walk and you're like, why did I even come here?
100%.
I'd be doing that on apps. I'm like, I open the app. I'm like, wait, why did I even open that up? And then I close it out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, now I remember. It's like when you walk out of the room. But that, people would be surprised to hear that that has that much of an impact. But I assure you, put your phone outside of your room and in earshot so you can still wake up by your alarm. But do not use social media for the first hour of your day, and do not sleep with your phone next to your bed. You're going to roll over, hit snooze. Oh, I'm late. People love to use the excuse like they overslept as if that was like an outside circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, I get it if your phone died or something like that, but this is also something that which you could have controlled. But like, oh no, I overslept because I snoozed my alarm and I didn't even realize that I did it because I was like not even really conscious when I did it. It's like, sounds like your fault. Sounds like your fault.
Yeah, and to your point, it's like, well, what did you do before you went to bed? Because obviously, like, that plays such a big role in how you wake up, is how you go to bed, how you prepare yourself for that night's sleep, for the next morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, and that's beautiful, because, again, it goes back to this discipline, this idea that discipline equals freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When you have boundaries, when you said, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm gonna achieve this, I'm going to become a champion, you got really clear, and it just, yes and no became super easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not always in that place.
Yeah, you know? I'm not either.
But when discipline equals freedom, and just setting up your life by design versus by default mm-hmm. is huge. So the goal becomes staying awake, mm-hmm. staying conscious, mm-hmm. and choosing to live your life. I mean, I'm sure you agree, like we believe so much of our reality is dictated by how we think,
yes.
our thoughts, and the associations we make to events with our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your self-talk? Like, are you pretty, it sounds like you affirm and you have a list of things that you go through. What's the self-talk like? And do you ever catch yourself in that negative inner dialogue? And how do you kind of get back to truth?
Mm-hmm. Certainly catch myself in that negative self-talk, but more so it's not as prevalent as it used to be. Now it's more, if it sounds negative, it ain't. Like, if I got to tell myself to stop being a little bitch, I got to tell myself that.
You're like, that's what
but
I
that's
here.
Not, yeah, but that's not, like, negative to me. Yeah. I'm not thinking that that's negative. That's a positive for me, because I'm like, that's going to flip the switch for me.
Yes.
And, like, you know, some people will argue that that's negative self-talk. You don't have to be profane with yourself in your head, da-da-da, be gentle.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. You don't build strength in just gentle environments. That's not how that works. A smooth sea never made a skilled sailor.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even mentally, you got to apply some friction to yourself. As iron sharpens iron, so does one man's countenance sharpen another. It's not iron sharpening iron isn't a pretty process.
Yeah.
There's heat, there's friction, there's noise, there's aggression.
Yes.
Shink,
violent.
Shink. Yeah. It has to be. Otherwise it doesn't get the job done.
Hmm.
So like that's sort of my approach with myself and my mind. It's become more compassionate. It used to be like, ah, oh, you stupid, this, that, the third. When I was a gymnast, I wish if my self-talk had been better, I would have been better for sure, because the narrative that you're, you know, telling yourself in your head is going to manifest. But, like, it's gotten much better to where I'm like, you got this. Like, come on. Like, the don't be a bitch is more like a come on, son, rather than like a you suck.
You're built for more.
Exactly.
Than that.
Exactly.
Like, it's a more positive reframe.
Correct.
For sure.
So I'm like pushing myself like that, you know, giving myself the encouragement. And then there's also the honest reflection, like, are you prepared for this? Is it something that you can do? Having that quick check-in conversation with yourself.
That's good.
Like, is this going to benefit me? Why am I here? Like, that was such a potent question in that moment, because it almost didn't feel like it was from me. You know what I mean? Because it was like, why are you here? Why are you in this club right now?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I really don't know. So I'm gonna go back toe-to-toe. You know, like, but the self-talk has been really good. And I think that if anyone's looking to improve their trajectory, their success rate, the first place you need to look is your internal dialogue.
It's good. I love that, Stacey. I was going to say too, like, I don't know. I mean, I always, it never clicked until I had kids, but I started realizing and understanding the truth of, you know, I'm a people pleaser and to a fault sometimes, which I'm recovering from and stepping out of, but you have to love and respect yourself enough to take care of yourself, set boundaries. Like, it's really about, you know, loving and respecting yourself because of your potential and who you can become. And so, like, that's huge for me is, you know, why am I in the club? It's like, well, because I love and respect myself. I see myself in a different place. I want a different type of life, which is great that you're sticking to.
Yeah. And not even anything to bash a club. I've been in plenty of clubs. I had great times in many a club.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's just in that season, in this moment of my life, why am I here?
Right.
This is an alignment. This is not an alignment. So, like, it's got to change, you know? And that's a very powerful frame to reference from. And you said something right there that really...
Talking about kids and love and respect yourself.
That's a core tenet, man.
Yeah.
Self-discipline is the highest form of self-love.
Love that.
It's true. If you're self-disciplined, you're going to have more to give to those around you.
Yeah.
Because your energy is not going to be frivolously wasted on things that are not already supporting the best version of you.
It's good.
So then you can then give from a better place of better self-development, better state of being into the relationships around you, the projects you're involved in, the community you're a part of, etc. Like, it really does make that big of a difference in impact.
Yeah.
And it's just sad that the word discipline has such a negative connotation.
Yeah.
Because people shirk away from it and they think that it's going to require something more of them that they're able to give. And to a point, it is. It's going to require more than you're able to give in this exact moment.
Yeah.
But that's going to build what you're able to give a few steps down the road. So it's like, just do it.
In a lot of ways, it's saying no to good so you can say yes to the best.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like not settling for anything less than that. So I talk a lot about becoming more you, and I believe that, like, you have everything you need. It's already within you. Everything you need to become everything you are is already within you. We're seeds. Everything that a seed needs is already within. It unfolds as it's activated. And that goes hand in hand with this idea of Michelangelo, the Statue of David. You familiar with that story? They asked him, how'd you make this masterpiece? And the sculptor Michelangelo said, well, I looked at the rock, the piece of marble, and I just started hacking away at everything that wasn't David.
Wow.
So David was within the rock. The masterpiece was within the marble block, and he saw it, so he removed everything that wasn't David.
Wow.
So for me, I think unbecoming is part of what becoming looks like. So in your life, what have you had to shed or unbecome? What's one thing or two things that you've unbecome, and in so doing, you've actually become more Stacey?
Man, that's powerful.
You're going to use that. That's
powerful.
I keep that in my pocket all day long because it's addition by subtraction.
Yes.
Becoming more you is not going to be something else. It's like just shedding who you're not is you are by default stepping into your potential.
I love that. I love that. The one thing that I've shed, one of the things that I've shed that has helped me become more me, and we're going to bring it right back to this because I'm telling you, bro, even as a personal experiment, it is worth a 60-day trial of not drinking. It is worth a 60-day trial of not doing it because it's not you inherently. We already know that. How do we know that? Because if we didn't drink, we wouldn't feel the way we do when we did. So when you don't and you start having to socialize and interact in those settings without that quote unquote social lubricant, you start to understand where your mind is actually resting. And a lot of times what I found in doing so was that my mind actually in the initial stages was not resting on anything, actually. Mm. It's like if you're in a situation where drinking is what's in everybody's hand, mm-hmm. and you're saying no to that, that changes your entire decision tree. Now I don't have to stand at a bar. Now I don't have to wait in line. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not running to the bathroom. Now I'm not shifting this drink in my hand to hand to hand to hand. I'm not probably not moving around as much. I'm probably not. It's like there's a whole decision tree that stems from it. And so in that moment now where we usually took that left branch and all the following leaves, now we're taking the right branch and we're seeing like, oh, it's a whole different part of this tree. It's like a whole different segment. Like now conversations are different. I've had way more intentional and like impactful conversations, more meaningful connections, more presence in the moment. Understanding where my mind wants to take things versus like being drink centric. I need to get another drink in my hand. Mm-hmm. Oh, I finished this one. Got to get another one. Oh, I got it. Nope. Finish that one. Got to get another one.
Yeah.
Am I starting to feel it? Am I not feeling it? I'm feeling it. Am I feeling it? Okay. Now I'm feeling it. Definitely feeling it. I'm getting more drunk. Dang.
It's a lot of drinks.
No, it was.
Yeah.
Like if I was going to drink, I'm a drink.
Yeah.
If I'm a drink, I'm a drink. Mm-hmm. Like that was the mindset.
Right.
So like, I don't know. That's like 4, 5, 6 drinks.
Yeah.
I'm a big guy, dude. Mm-hmm. Like it does take like that much for me to start to get impacted mm-hmm. by it. Physically, I'm still doing back tucks at that point. You know what I'm saying? They still think I'm sober. You know what I'm saying? But I know personally I'm not.
Yeah.
And then not only situationally, but it's like what comes after, like a little bit of anxiousness, being hungover, the sluggishness. These are not side effects of a night. These are side effects of drinking.
Yeah.
So it's not like without that, I don't feel that. It's not like I wake up and still feel that way if I don't have that. So like, mm-hmm. again, that's not me. Mm-hmm. So when I take that away, I'm able to be more me and more me consistently because now I'm not having this manufactured up and down mm-hmm. and this manufactured sluggishness. I'm up, I'm ready to go. Because again, the reason I share that too so passionately is because I really know it's not like when I was drinking, I did not drink. Mm-hmm. It's not like I had 2 beers and was like, oh, this is cool. No, I enjoyed it and I would drink probably to excess. So like, I'm no stranger to that. I know what it's like to black out. A little bit too familiar with that, to be honest. Shout out college, Big Ten schools, party hard.
It's a whole experience.
a whole experience, for real. So it makes it even more visceral for me to understand and see such a stark difference in how I am in that environment and also how I am in that environment without that.
Yeah.
Being a factor. It's true. Really, it. When I say a veil lifts, I really mean it. Like it is that potent mm-hmm. because then you start to see things. You're like, damn, I did look like that. Mm-hmm. I did look like that. And you'll start to control your tongue more. You'll say things that you really, really mean and want to share rather than things that like just kind of slip out. Sometimes you're like, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Or like, dang, I wouldn't have said that otherwise. Mm-hmm. I might be oversharing. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
yeah,
dude, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, because you're right. It's not neutral in a sense that when you stop doing it, like, I lost my train of thought. I mean, it's not just good because you're having discipline, but it also gives you clarity because you're less clear when you're hungover. So it's not just a neutral decision to give up alcohol for a time. It actually benefits you exponentially better than just like, I'm not going to have whatever other decision may be.
Right. And the physique gains is just insane. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, well, really crazy. Whatever you're doing, I'll do.
Right.
I'm like, crazy, okay, bro. Phone in the other room. We got the no. I'm bad lately about the phone and when I wake up.
Yeah.
When I check into the socials and stuff, I'm bad about that. I do practice that.
Yeah.
Other room, 100%. That's life changing. Like I don't hit snooze anymore.
Yeah.
And you wake up intentionally, and it's like, I used to sit in bed with my phone or TV. There's no TV in our room.
Yep.
There's no phone in my bed.
Yep.
Because if I'm in my bed, I'm doing one of two things, right? Making love or going to bed.
Yep.
And if you keep it that simple, you're gonna be good.
The body and mind get trained to the environment that they're in. So like a lot of times people will form habits,
yeah.
but they're only habits because they're in the same environment in which the cues and triggers are in.
Yes.
You remove the cues of the environment and the habit sometimes disappears too. That's why people who are fit at home, when you have clients who are like on their fitness grind, they're crushing it, they go off and they travel somewhere and everything goes to complete shit. It's because they're removed from the environment and they didn't take the habit, the principle with them. They took the practice and the practice fell apart because the environment wasn't there to support it. It wasn't there to support it. It was. They just didn't see it because the perspective didn't support the practice because the environment changed.
That's a lot there.
It is. It's a lot to unpack. That's why that's why we're talking about the principal things, though.
Yeah.
Because if the foundation's not set, actually what it's built on, then the house don't stand. Right. You know, when the wind comes, it's going to get blown over.
Yes.
Why is that? Because now if something has changed, and the foundation wasn't the foundation.
Yeah.
So it's like really, it's critical. It's really critical things.
Man, that's so good. I also think, when it comes to what I heard you say, I lost my train of thought. When it comes to people and their mindsets, oh, this is what I was gonna say. Mm-hmm. I always remind myself and others, it's like the prize and the reward is not, I mean, dude, kudos to you for getting that gold medal.
Thank you.
That's not the real reward though.
Facts.
The real reward and prize is the person you're becoming.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep that mentality, then all the other stuff, the practices, the rituals, those are all serving the purpose of you being the most you ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the real prize is in the person you're becoming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, as we conclude,
mm-hmm.
Love this conversation, by the way.
Yeah,
we could sit here all day.
Yeah, okay.
When you think about one mindset or one mentality that you can implant into everyone's brain for a more successful life, I love this idea. Like, what would that mindset principle be?
The power of positive thinking. Norman Vincent Peale, book. Everyone should read it. Major principle point being, every setback has within it the seed of an equal or greater opportunity.
Hmm.
But if you do not have a positively skewed mindset, I'm not saying be naively optimistic over a situation. I'm saying be positive minded in seeing a situation to ascertain a benefit from any setback, any loss, an equal to or greater than possibility.
Yeah.
Not an equal to or lesser than, not just a lesser than. The setback is not just a lesser than.
Mm.
The setback is a lesson to understand that there's the seed of equal or greater opportunity within it.
Yeah.
It's the whole, your test becomes your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
If you're positively minded in going through that situation, that doesn't necessarily take away the pain of the situation. It doesn't necessarily make it any easier to get yourself out, so to speak.
Yeah.
You're still going to have to do the work in order to maintain and gain that benefit. Mm-hmm. However, you don't have to hate your life the entire time it's happening.
Yeah.
Because there is something positive coming from it.
No doubt.
And yes, that is a learned practice skill that you acquire through the repetition of doing so.
Mm-hmm.
But it is developed by being developed. It's not developed just by like, it's not like you're born, you have it.
It's not going to accidentally happen either.
Exactly. Yeah. It has to be intentional.
Yeah.
So that would be it. A positive mindset. Because the power of positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If you apply that at mass, that automatically includes the necessity for personal reflection. It automatically includes accountability, personal responsibility, and discipline.
Wow.
In order to be positively thinking.
Yeah, because you have to ask yourself in that moment, how is this setting me up for a better result?
Yes.
Yeah. And what is this training me for?
Yes. And then from that, what is this training me for? Okay, what's the next step in that path?
Uh-huh.
What's the next step in that process?
Yeah.
And that is how that snowball starts to go. Because then the opposite can occur too, which is like, why me?
Mm-hmm.
Of course this happens.
Victim mindset.
this happened to me. Of course it did. Yeah. Well, you thinking like that, you better get ready because another wave is coming.
Yeah. Well, it's, you just said it, man. What you focus on expands, and mm-hmm. we get more of what we choose to focus on. So it's like, yeah, why is this happening to me? Or like, this always happens to me. You're literally just welcoming that mm-hmm. and probably attracting that to happen again, or you're attracting more of the same. And,
yeah.
You know, we so much in alignment here.
100%.
Like, we don't get the life we want. We get the life that we focus on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are.
Yeah.
And it's so much an inner game first. And that reminded me too, what you said, so powerful. I love the mentality for all people to be the power of positive thinking
mm-hmm.
and to see how life is happening for you.
Mm-hmm.
Three things that I always remind myself and others is like, call it God, universe, or source, is for you.
Mm-hmm.
God is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Living like that, even if you don't believe in God,
mm-hmm.
just go on an experiment with me. 60 days,
right.
no alcohol.
Right.
60 days, just believe that everything is happening for you.
That's good.
Number
That's
two,
really good.
Not just that, happening for your highest good.
Mm.
Not just good or good enough. Your highest good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's positive thinking.
Yes.
What you just mentioned, not just like a little bit better or a little bit worse, a little bit better. It's your highest good
mm-hmm.
and seeing how that can happen. And then finally, what I mentioned earlier is everything you need to become more you, everything you are, it's already within you.
Mm.
You know, it's like,
that's real.
It's like, I'm asking God for courage and God's like, when are you going to take the step? Because
mm-hmm.
it's in the step that you receive the courage, because courage, like a muscle, is already within you.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be pumped up. It needs to be worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, man, that's why we vibe so well together, because so much of fitness, the physical disciplines, the spiritual disciplines, they're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had encounters with God in a workout
yes.
way more powerfully
yes.
than I've had at church
yes.
and vice versa. But
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
people think, oh, it's like you're working out. It's vain. It's like, actually, dude, you better plug in, because like you can experience God with that.
Legitimately.
So.
Legitimately. I mean, it's a temple.
100%.
Body's a temple.
Yeah.
If I'm never even outworking part of the container, how am I experiencing the fullness? If I never open the jar, I ain't getting the jam from inside.
100%, man.
So like it's got to move. It helps
yeah.
because when you change the way you move, I'm not saying everybody got to be a bodybuilder or a CrossFitter or an Ironman or whatever, Olympic swimmer. I'm not saying everybody got to do that. I'm saying you got to move your body, because when you are moving your body, you're changing your state. You're changing the emotions you're experiencing, which are changing the chemicals that are interacting with your brain and body.
Mm.
You're having different neurotransmitters being signaled within your brain. You're having your muscles firing, which is pushing blood, oxygen through your body, nutrients. All this digestion is occurring because your body is now activated. But if it's stagnant and sedentary 90% of the time, so are the cells.
Mm.
They're not as alive. The cells aren't living outside of my body.
Mm.
If I'm not moving, they're not really moving the same way.
Interesting.
So like I have to like get that movement in. It will change. Everybody got to get that movement. It'll change your state. You can go on a walk.
Yeah. Moving meditation.
Yeah. Yeah. You go on a walk. Yeah. You do some Tai Chi.
Do you do that?
I haven't done that Tai Chi, but I would like to.
I would like to
as
well.
Like to
maybe next time we're back in the podcast, yeah. we've done Tai Chi together.
Yeah.
I got so many questions that I would love to ask you, but we just jammed for like over an hour.
Yeah, amazing.
And, you know, there's so much to you as a person, your story, your background, what you've been through, mm-hmm. the highs and the lows. There's so much more to you than meets the eye,
mm-hmm.
and a lot meets the eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude's a freaking sculpted Greek god, and yet there's so much depth, there's so much richness, and bro, who you are, man, special, and I just
likewise,
love seeing
bro.
You shine, man.
I appreciate that, dude. You inspire me daily, man. I really appreciate your energy, and like you said, we've connected on Instagram. When we meet up, I feel like I've already known you, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying? And so
it,
like
bro.
It's just great to connect with someone who's also putting out that positivity and
mm-hmm.
in an authentic way and leading from the front, because the world needs more leaders, man.
Mm.
The world needs more leaders. And if someone's a follower, that doesn't mean they can't lead also.
Mm-hmm.
We got to lead from where we're at, because if we keep every single person in a follow mindset, when push comes to shove, who's going to take the helm?
Yeah.
Everyone should have some level of preparation to do so, to guide. And if you're the best followers are leaders. They know what's up. This is a plan. I'm looking to see where the direction is, the trajectory. How can I impact change for myself, for my community, for my family, those nearest to me? Like, the world needs more leaders. And the energy that I see come across from your channels is promoting leadership, not just intra, but inter. Inter leadership, making sure that they're not just being able to lead themselves, which is highly effective and key, but also lead others around them. So I appreciate you for that, bro. Seriously, love the energy. Thank you.
Love that, man. I love you, bro.
Love you, bro.
It's a solid session. I feel like I picked up on gems, fitness, training, like that YouTube video is packed with gold. I learned more today about bodybuilding than I have in a decade worth of training.
That's awesome.
Man. Well, I hate to cut it off, but guys, Stacey Irvin Jr., the man, the myth. Bro, I love you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for this, though.
Insane, dude.
Great stuff.